from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. September 2nd. 10 in health, the one that made me reread the abstract, is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from the School for Housewives. Toddlers and older kids too need a sandbox. The article emphasizes the benefits of having a sandbox for toddlers and young children, especially when they're at an age where they might struggle to play independently. It suggests that a sandbox can be a great solution to help kids learn to entertain themselves, allowing parents a bit of a break. The author acknowledges that sand can be messy, but offers practical advice on placement and cleanup, like keeping it a little distance from the house. She also shares ideas for toys to enhance play, like trucks for boys and pots for girls, while encouraging parents to adapt her suggestions to fit their own family dynamics. Overall, the message is about finding joy in home life and fostering independence in children through simple, engaging play. Next. Second, from Scary Mommy. 27 sweet baby girl names that are dainty, feminine, and playful. I've been thinking about how many sweet storybook style names you can pick for a baby girl. The list groups them mainly into two sounds. Names ending in a Y or IE and names ending in an N. Think Birdie, Me, and Daisy for the Y ones, and Clara, Eleanor, and Mabel for the N ones. Some names are classic and have lovely meanings. Annie means grace. Ruby is bright and playful. Lucy brings light. And Eleanor shines as a lighthearted name. Flower names like Rosie, Poppy, and Lillian add that gentle, whimsical vibe. The article also highlights names that can be shortened, like Eddie from Edith or Macy from Margaret, giving you both a formal and a cute option. Up next, third, from Motherly. The money moves to make before you become a stay-at-home mom. Belle Burden's experience stepping away from her legal career to raise her kids highlights the complex financial risks many women face when becoming stay-at-home moms. Her memoir sparked discussions about the sacrifices involved, especially for those without a financial safety net. Experts emphasize the importance of understanding your family's finances, maintaining your own credit, and having open conversations about money decisions. They recommend planning for potential future challenges like divorce or disability and keeping your skills current to ease re-entry into the workforce. Ultimately, it's crucial to approach this decision with a clear understanding of the long-term implications on your financial independence and career trajectory. And then, fourth, from Fill Your Cup, how to actually manifest the life you want with To Be Magnetic's Jessica Gill. In this episode, Jessica Gill from To Be Magnetic shares insights on a science-based approach to manifestation that's really resonated with the host over the past 2 years. She explains that manifestation hinges on what we subconsciously believe is possible, shaped significantly by our childhood experiences. The conversation dives into the three key pillars of To Be Magnetic: expansion, unblocking, and aligned action, which together help you align with your most authentic self. They discuss the concept of expanders, which are individuals who embody qualities you admire, allowing you to draw inspiration without trying to replicate their entire lives. Jessica also highlights how feelings of jealousy can actually serve as useful signals, nudging you toward what you truly desire. The episode touches on the difference between smaller and larger manifestations, emphasizing that both have their place in the journey of self-discovery and growth. If you're curious about practical exercises to uncover your authentic self or want to learn more about how to take aligned action, this episode offers some valuable takeaways. You can find Jessica on Instagram and TikTok, or check out the To Be Magnetic website for more resources. Next, fifth, from The Examined Family. The story of my dad's death. The author reflects on the profound experience of her father's final days, filled with grief, love, and community support. She grapples with the decision to share this intimate story, recognizing the lack of narratives around death compared to birth. The week leading up to his passing was marked by a mix of emotions, as family gathered to support him and each other. She describes the sacredness of watching him breathe, reading poetry, and playing music he loved, creating a space of connection. The warmth of his hands, despite his declining health, puzzled everyone, while compassionate hospice nurses shared stories that celebrated his life. Ultimately, she conveys that love transcends even the mystery of death, emphasizing the beauty of their shared moments. Up next, sixth, from Talking Sense, from Dr. Martha Psychologist. The antidote to anxiety isn't calm, it's safety. How to create safe separations that lead to confident goodbyes. As back-to-school season approaches, many parents, like the author, are navigating significant transitions. With a 7-year-old moving to Key Stage 2 and a 3-year-old starting preschool, the author emphasizes the importance of creating a sense of safety for children during these changes. They share practical scripts and toolkits to help parents manage goodbyes confidently, fostering what they call secure love. A secure child can internalize feelings of safety, even when separated from their parents. Important to note that crying is a natural response and can actually help regulate emotions. The author challenges the stigma around tears, encouraging parents to embrace emotional discomfort rather than avoid it. By allowing children to express their feelings, parents can help them build resilience. Ultimately, avoiding tears can lead to more anxiety, so it's crucial to support children through their emotions rather than trying to stop them. And then, seventh, from The Future of Education, The Value of Live in a World of Abundant I. In a piece I published a few months back titled Abundance, Scarcity, and the Future of Work in an I World, I made the argument that there's unlikely to ever be a world of unlimited abundance. The reason? As something becomes abundant, things adjacent to it will seem relatively scarce given humans' insatiable appetite for making progress in struggling circumstances. Much of my argument rested on the application of three theories that have been rigorously tested: interdependence and modularity, commoditization and decommoditization, and the law of conservation of attractive profits. Next, 8, from Joyful Kids, with Kira Willey. For teachers and homeschool parents who are already tired. Hey there. So, I came across this piece aimed at teachers and homeschool parents who are feeling pretty worn out as the school year kicks off. The author really gets that not everyone is buzzing with that fresh start energy, especially with the rising mental health challenges kids are facing and the constant pull of screens. It's a lot, and it's okay to feel tired. What I found helpful were the practical tips offered to help manage that stress. Simple things like prepping the night before, adding a tiny self-care moment in the morning, or even just taking a few deep breaths can really make a difference. There's also a focus on creating a common classroom environment, like decluttering and adding cozy spaces for kids to reset, the author emphasizes that even small, consistent changes can lead to a more peaceful atmosphere, which ultimately benefits everyone. There's also a mention of a virtual training program, Calm Your Classroom, that's currently discounted. It's designed to help teachers create a more regulated and joyful space, which sounds like a nice resource if you're interested. Overall, it's a warm reminder that taking care of ourselves helps us take care of the kids, and that every little effort counts. Up next, 9th from Over the Influence, Things I Love, Things I Hate. Hey all, quick reminder that if you loved Parisian Heist and want it to be a pick for your book club, I will send you a bunch of personalized nameplates for the club, make a Zoom appearance, or shoot you a fun video. And keep leaving those 5-star reviews. Smooches. I went to New York yesterday to film some content with my co-writer Christine Pride to promote our novel I Never Knew You at All. It was delightful. I also got to couch sit and hang with one of my agents in her office while we ate sushi, and I had my once weekly can of Diet Coke. And then, 10th for Mom Brain. Mom confessions, moodiness, regret, and husbands letting us down. Motherhood can feel overwhelming, and a recent collection of anonymous confessions highlights the struggles many moms face. One mom shares her disappointment in her husband, who has become less of a confidante and more of a critic, especially when it comes to mistakes about finances. This shift has made her hesitant to open up, fearing his long-winded lectures instead of support. Another mom reflects on her journey toward healing in her relationship, acknowledging the lingering hurt from how her husband treated her during pregnancy and postpartum. She's making progress, yet the scars remain. A different confession reveals the challenge of dealing with a moody child, leaving her feeling drained and disconnected. Lastly, a mom expresses her desire for another baby but worries about her husband's lack of support with their current children. These shared experiences remind us that while motherhood is often portrayed in a positive light, the reality can be messy and complicated. That's the read. Small inputs compounding results. Back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.